It's a Mailbag Monday. We've got your questions about two studs in Seattle's system, some top prospects who were traded mid-season last year, and some guys excelling in the lower minors. Let's talk about it.
You are Locked On MLB Prospects, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome on in to Locked On MLB Prospects, your home for all things minor league baseball. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby, freelance baseball writer and podcaster. Thank you for making this your first listen every single day. We're proudly part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. And today's episode is made possible by our friends at eBay Motors. A championship team is about each player being a perfect fit. It's the same with your vehicle. So for parts that fit, head to eBay Motors and look for the green check to stay in the game with eBay's guaranteed fit. ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. Okay, so as we do every single Monday, this show is full of your questions. If you have a question for the show, I'm on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. Show's on Twitter at Locked On Farm. You can email us, lockedonmlbprospects@gmail.com, or drop your questions in the Locked On MLB Prospects Discord. Links in the episode description, links in the show notes. Had a couple questions come in, one from Jeff, one from Damian, but they both touch on Seattle Mariners prospects. We're going to put them together. The first one is catcher Harry Ford of the Seattle Mariners. So 2021 first rounder out of high school. Got 104 games last year in low A. Did not like state, spent the entire year in low A, which is pretty standard. It's a scenario where you want these prep players to get into the routine, into the timing, into what it's like to be a professional baseball player and play six games in a week. So in that 104 games in low A with the Modesto Nuts, 274, 425, 438, 11 home runs, 38 extra base hits, 88 walks to 115 strikeouts, and 23 of 28 on stolen bases. And the scouting report going into the year for Harry Ford was fantastic athlete. I mean, he stole 23, 28 bases as a catcher. Not something you see a ton, but just it's explosive. He's a good runner, period. Not a good runner for a catcher, good runner, period. I'd put the speed at plus. I mean, Harry Ford's a fantastic athlete. And the scouting report that I read remarked his physical frame to that of a wrestler, and not like a professional wrestler, but like an amateur wrestler, 5'10", 200, very explosive. And so you can see that in the batter's box. He's got very good hand-eye coordination, very good bat speed, and the swing is geared towards driving balls into the right center gap. Now his power itself is gap to gap, left center to right center, but he's kind of geared towards driving balls to right center. I think the pitch recognition is really good, especially against left-handed pitchers. But when he does struggle, it's something where he struggles with fastballs up in the zone. And, you know, and just pitches up in general, you'll have swing and miss there, but especially fastballs, because that's the only pitch a lot of guys even feel comfortable elevating is a fastball. So Harry Ford, very impressed offensively with what he can do. He is a hard out. He will work a count against you. He is very good at recognizing spin out of the zone, things like that. So it's tough to get him out, again, especially if you're a lefty. He crushes lefties. Defensively, I think right now he is below average. He has potential. So the arm is plus. It's a plus arm. And it's something kind of like a good shortstop. And I think he's a good enough athlete where he could play second or third if you wanted him to. But kind of like a shortstop, he's really good at making the throw from whatever platform. He might be on a knee, he might be fully up, he might be on both knees, and whatever angle he has to throw to get the ball out, he's good at getting the ball delivered from whatever arm angle it might be. He has, again, great athleticism, just raw when it comes to the blocking, things like that. I think the lateral agility is good enough where he can be a good blocker. He just has to work on it some more. And then the receiving, that's a thing we hear about a lot from prep catchers, is the game calling and the receiving. They just have to get more reps at that. So a little bit of a slower development curve because it is a prep catcher. But right now, 40 games in high A. So he moved up from Modesto to Everett, to the Aqua Sox. 267, 432, 425. 5 home runs, 12 extra base hits, 40 walks to 34 strikeouts, and 8 of 11 on stolen bases. So batting average around the same, on base a little bit better, slugging a little bit lower. He's in essence the same player at a higher level of competition, following that slow but steady development curve. So I like Harry Ford a lot. Thank you, Damian, on YouTube, I believe, for the question. The other question, Jeff sent me a tweet asking about Jonathan Clase. Fantastic, fantastic prospect. 2018 IFA, and last year got 107 games in low A. And it was something where he signed in 2018. He had obviously lost the year with the pandemic, but he had a bunch of like not minor nagging injuries, a hamstring strain, things like that. He played 14 games between 2020 and 2021. Obviously lost 2020, but the hamstring strains and other issues in 21. So last year, spends the whole year, again, as a Modesto nut in low A, in 107 games, 267, 373, 463, 13 home runs, 46 extra base hits, including 11 triples. Absurd. 65 walks to 133 strikeouts, 55 of 65 on stolen bases. In case you can't tell, speed's a big part of his game. He's probably 70 grade on the speeding. Jonathan Clase is an incredibly fast player. The arm is average, but the defense is probably above average. He has a lot. He can cover a lot of ground in center field. And so because of the speed alone, it gives him a higher floor on defense. I do think that there will be occasions where you may find a better defender to play center field than him, but for the most part, he's going to be your center fielder because of the defense. Offensively, he's gotten better with the hit tool. He was a bit of a free swinger and was really just going up there looking to do damage and would swing at almost anything trying to do that. He's gotten better at trying to recognize pitches that he can drive versus just what is a pitch to induce a chase or to get me to waste a swing. You can still fool him when it comes to really good sequencing between fastballs and off speeds, right? It's something where he can sit fastball and he's way ahead of the off speed, or he can sit off speed and he can't catch up to the fastball. He's not at the point where he can afford to sit off speed and have the bat speed and the quick twitch to get to the fastball. But the power's definitely coming in, especially when he is batting lefty as a switch hitter. Probably should mention that up front. And so this year, he's already been moved out of high A Everett to double A Arkansas. In Everett, 21 games this year, 333, 453, 701, 7 home runs, 17 extra base hits, 18 walks to 28 strikeouts in 21 games. So there's the swing and miss, 17 to 21 on stolen bases. So they move him to double A Arkansas. And you can see that he's still struggling with the swing and miss, but he's adapting to the higher level. 247, 355, 519, 5 home runs, 10 extra base hits, 13 walks to 31 strikeouts, and 14 to 16 on stolen bases. He is coming into the year, he had jumped from the back half of the top 30 to the midpoint. He's probably going to be in the top 5 for this system, along with Harry Ford, who is probably, I think, still the number one prospect, and a bunch of arms, because there's just a ton of good arms in this system. But Jonathan Clase has absolutely had a breakout in high A Everett, and I would imagine age 21 now, he's in double A. He's probably going to spend most of the year there. You may do that September call-up thing the everydayers will remember us talking about, where you get him a little bit of time towards the end of the year in triple A, maybe as they're getting ready to go to the postseason. But I think he'll spend the rest of the year in double A. And then you're looking at next year, you might run him all the way through AAA and have him debut in 25 as a Rookie of the Year candidate, or call him up mid-season next year if you don't think he's going to be Rookie of the Year guy, and let him play next to Julio Rodriguez. Kind of depends on some of the contract statuses up there. In just a minute, we're going to get to two top prospects who got traded mid-season last year and see how they're doing now. But first, today's episode is brought to you by our friends with Built Bar. If you want a delicious snack, but you don't want all the sugar and calories, you need the best tasting protein bar ever, and it's Built. If you're like me and you want to make healthier snack choices, but you don't want to compromise on taste, Built Bars and Built Puffs are healthy. They taste amazing. They're so amazing, you won't think that they're good for you. They're covered in 100% real dark chocolate. The fantastic flavors, churro, peanut butter brownie, cookies and cream. Churro is my favorite. If you ask me, the women of San Antonio should probably start eating some more churro puffs instead of actual churros. Shout out Charles Barkley. But the reason they should eat those is because 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 17 grams of protein. So if you want some, obviously, Built.com. We've talked about that for years. You can also go to your local Walmart or Sam's, and you can go to the pharmacy section at Walmart, get a box of Built Bars. It's cookies and cream, double chocolate bar or coconut puff, or Sam's for a 13-bar box of brownie batter puff and churro puff. Again, everything else, Built.com. Okay, so another guy that Damian asked us to talk about is Noelvi Marte of the Cincinnati Reds. 2018 IFA, one of the two guys we're going to talk about here that was traded last year. He was the centerpiece of the Luis Castillo deal from the Mariners, who we just talked about, to the Reds. So this year, right now, 41 games in AA this year, 280, 357, 491. So close to that 3-4, like he's trying for that 3-4-5 ways to go on the on base, but the slugging is close. This is through Friday, so he may have gotten there over the weekend with a couple long balls for AA Chattanooga. But 8 home runs, 17 total extra base hits, 18 walks to 32 strikeouts in 41 games, and 9 of 11 on stolen bases. Noelvi Marte he's played a lot of shortstop this year. I don't think he's going to be a shortstop at the bigs. This system just has so many very good defenders. I mean, Elway De La Cruz, who's in AAA and probably should be in the bigs, is one of the highest ceiling players in all of baseball, but he's a very good defender at shortstop. There's tons of options for shortstop. And if you go back to the Arizona Fall League last year, Noelvi Marte played some third base there. He's played some third base this year for Chattanooga. It really feels like that's his future. And if that's what happens, I think he'll be fine at third base. His speed is, I'd say, probably average. His defense is a little bit below average, and some of that is he doesn't quite have that quick twitch burst to either side that really you need shortstops to have, but is useful at third base as well. He doesn't have it as much at short. He doesn't have to get as much distance covered at third, and so I think he'll be an average defender at third base, where he's probably a little bit below average at short right now. The arm is average. I think he needs to be a little bit more accurate with that, and it looks like he has been this year versus last year. Some of that's just going to be experience, too, the time that he spends at third base, because he's been a shortstop all the way coming up. Offensively, tons of power, 65 or 70 grade. I've seen different reports, but it's something where the everydayers know this. Your power tool is only as good as your hit tool. He has struggled in the past with breaking pitches. You can beat him with breaking balls. You can either get him to chase a breaking ball out of the zone for a swing and miss, or you can throw it for a strike down and away and get him to just hit a weak ground or just roll over it. So definitely some work to do there. I'm glad they went ahead and put him in AA in Chattanooga so he could face better pitchers. And if you can hit a breaking ball in the AA Southern League with that tacky baseball they have right now, you can hit it anywhere else, because pitchers are seeing a lot of extra performance from that ball. So last year, when he got traded, his stats got a little bit better when he went from High A Everett to High A Dayton. And then, so he finished up in High A Dayton just about a month, 30 games, 292, 397, 443. Right now in Chattanooga, again, 280, 357, 491. So slugging is higher, on base is lower, batting average is a little bit lower. Follows the center development curve, just has to get a little bit better with the swing and miss, and that all comes back to pitch recognition on the breaking balls. He has the potential to be a power slugging third baseman in the mold, not a comp, in the mold of a guy like an Austin Riley. Like, that's kind of the idea of what you're trying to do here with Noel V. Marte. So we'll see how that goes. The other guy that was asked about, and this one was also Damien, he gave me a list of three guys he wanted to hear about, was James Wood of the Washington Nationals, 2021 second rounder out of high school. He was one of like the eight players moved in the Juan Soto deal. Not all of them went to the Nationals. There was a guy or two that went back to the Padres to go along with Soto. Josh Bell went back as well. But 41 games in high A this year in the Nationals system, so in Wilmington. And he's batting 293, 390, 565. Seven home runs, 17 extra base hits, including five triples, which is rather impressive when you think about the fact that James Wood is 6'7", 245. 25 walks to 47 strikeouts in 41 games, so just over one a game, and 7 of 8 on stolen bases. Defensively, because everybody's here for fantasy baseball, so let me just ruin that real quick. Defensively, the speed's above average, the arm's above average, the defense is probably average. He's played some center field. I think he could stick there, but I still like him better as a big-armed right fielder who hits tanks and racks up tons of outfield assists. I think he would be average in center. I think he could be above average in right, provided he doesn't slow down anymore as he continues to fill out, because he is just now 20 years old. So there is still time to physically develop, and hopefully it's all good weight, healthy weight. The new CBA and things help with that, with nutrition, but still, you want him to hopefully fill out in a healthy way and not lose too much speed where his defense suffers. Offensively, this is where everybody was waiting for. He's an incredibly gifted guy. Power, just like Marte, is somewhere around a 65 or a 70 grade. I do think his hit tool is better than Noel V. Marte's hit tool. I'd give him an above average hit tool now. And that is despite the fact that he has those long levers and a long bat path we always talk about with those really tall guys. It's just a lot of arm to get through to get to the bat into the zone. It's a lot of arms to have to move. But despite that, I think he's still an above average hitter. You see the long bat path and the long levers in the strikeout numbers, but he's done some stuff with his stance, with his swing, with his hand placement to try to be quicker into the zone. So there is some improvement there. And because his arms are so long, he can cover the entire strike zone. He can make consistent contact up. He can make consistent contact down, both sides of the plate. He can cover the whole zone. So a lot of it now is, one, not being as aggressive. He was known last year, both in the Padres system, so when he was playing for Lake Elsinore, and in the National system, so playing in low A Fredericksburg, that you could get him to swing at the first pitch just about every time. And so you could throw a junk pitch and he would go after it. And then he's now behind in the count. And we know that once you get behind in the count, obviously everything is in the pitcher's favor and it's harder for you to make it work. So he's gotten better about not being as aggressive early, combined with some changes to his stance and things like that. Is really good against velocity, still needs a little bit of work on the recognition of the spin, but he's getting better at that as well. I've been really impressed with the growth that James Wood has had. I was not 100% sold on him, but it's working. He's doing better than Elijah Green is, which is great. In just a minute, we're going to get to a couple of prospects in the lower minors that you may or may not have heard of, but guys that definitely are outperforming either their draft status or their prospect rating. And we'll get to that next right here on Locked On MLB Prospects. And we are back. Reminder, if you have questions for the show, I'm on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. Show's on Twitter at Locked On Farm. You can email us, LockedOnMLBProspects@gmail.com, or drop your questions in the Locked On MLB Prospects Discord. Links in the episode description, links in the show notes. Okay, so Bacon in our Discord asked about Jared Cerna of the New York Yankees. Second baseman, 2019 IFA, is actually one of the lesser known Cernas. Luis Cerna is his younger cousin, who's a pitcher. They had a big, high expectations for him before some injuries and things like that. So 37 games this year in low A, and Jared Cerna is absolutely thriving. 324, 391, 559 with the Tampa Tarpons. 8 home runs, 17 extra base hits, 15 walks to 21 strikeouts, again in 37 games, so both a good job of walking and a good job of not striking out a ton. 9 of 12 at stolen bases. You so often see second basemen that are, I'm not going to say failed shortstop prospects, but guys that weren't going to work out at short. He's a true second baseman. He's very good at second base. The speed is good. You can see from the stolen base numbers, 9 of 12. The hands are smooth on the transfer. The arm is enough to play short and probably a little bit more. And he's a short king, 5'6", 175 or so. But despite that, he's a plus hitter, consistently can put a ball in play versus striking out. The strikeout rate's like just over 10%. Very good. Very promising hitter. The power is, I mean, he's got 17 extra base hits in 37 games in Tampa. We always talk about if you can get half as many extra base hits as games, so 37 games to 17 extra base hits is close to that metric, then your power's better than maybe you've been credited for in the past. That's kind of what we're looking for. 8 home runs, 8 doubles and a triple. So the speed is good. The power is, he's getting everything out of that frame. So the thing that I want to see is he's 21 this year. So I want to see him make it to double A before the end of the year. I do think when you do some re-rates of the system mid-year, Jared Cerna deserves to be probably in the teens. And when you're talking about the better infield prospects in this system, I think Jared Cerna deserves to be in that conversation as one of the better infield prospects in this system. Another question also from Jeff was about Ryan Clifford of the Houston Astros. And stay tuned to Wednesday. We will have a crossover with Brett from Locked On Astros. We are talking all about the outfielders in this system, where they're going to fit at the major league level, who has a chance of making it, who doesn't. It's going to be great. So, 2022 11th rounder out of high school. And this is interesting here. So, Jeff asked why he was an 11th rounder. Was it the Vanderbilt commitment? And it's partially that, but really it's signability. So, if you remember from the MLB draft, you have the slotting system where every pick in the first 10 rounds is assigned a slot value. You can go over or under slot to sign your guys. But in the first 10 rounds, if you don't sign the guy that you pick with that pick, you lose the slot value for that pick from your draft pool. Now, that rule does not exist for the 11th through 20th rounds. Instead, what they say is anybody who signs for over $125,000, that money counts against your draft pool. But if he doesn't sign, you don't lose any cap pool, any draft pool space. Ryan Clifford signed for $1.26 million. So there was a signability question versus just a Vanderbilt commitment question. There was a signability question. Would he sign the deal if we take him in the fifth or the seventh or the ninth or the third or whatever, and he doesn't sign, we lose the slot value money. But if we save some money with some senior signs and things like that earlier in the draft, we'll have money to give him in the 11th round, and we don't lose anything if he doesn't sign. So that's why he lasted to the 11th. He's already been moved up from low A to high A. So 25 games in low A Fayetteville this year, 337, 488, 457, on base higher than the slugging, I know, but it's because he walked a lot. 2 home runs, 7 extra base hits, 25 walks in 25 games, to 27 strikeouts, 3 or 4 on stolen bases. He moved up to high A Asheville. He's got 15 games. There's an adjustment period here. He's only 19 years old. He's still working on this. 218, 290, 418, 3 home runs, 5 extra base hits, 5 walks to 20 strikeouts, 1 for 1 on stolen bases. Not too concerned about the Asheville numbers. He's been there literally 2 weeks. Not a big deal here. I think it's fine. He is going to have to hit. The power is plus. The hit tool is probably a 40 or 45. And he's going to have to hit because defensively, he's not necessarily that great. The run tool, the arm is all probably 40 to 45. Defensively, he's not fantastic in a corner. He did play a little bit of first base. He may be a candidate to move to first base in the future, especially as he continues to mature and you see if he slows down or anything. And so he's got to work on the contact ability. That's not necessarily great. And he's got to work on zone coverage. I do think his batter's eye, his pitch recognition is good. He just has to work on coverage in the zone and making quality contact. So Ryan Clifford, some things to work on, but still a promising player. J-Mike in our Discord, last minute question got in on right-hand pitcher Ryan Kerkering of the Phillies. 2022 fifth rounder out of USF, and a really interesting guy because he's in the fifth round, but they took him with the express purpose of him being a reliever. He bounced back and forth at USF between starting and relieving, but they said, no, we're going to keep you as a reliever. And so he started off in low A this year, 9 games, 1-0 record, did not allow a run. Pitched 10 in the third innings, 2 hits, no runs, 1 walk to 18 strikeouts. So 15.7 strikeouts per 9. They bumped him to high A Jersey Shore, 7 games, 7 2/3 innings, 2.35 ERA. So he gave up 2 earned runs on only 4 hits. So he gave up 1 home run, 3 walks to 9 strikeouts. I would expect him, since age 22 year, I'd expect him to spend a little bit more time at high A, but the goal is going to be to get him in double A sooner rather than later. As long as he continues to pitch like he did in Clearwater and Jersey Shore, I could absolutely see the Phillies having a goal of getting him to the bullpen by the end of the season, give him a chance to audition, see how he does in an MLB look, and if for some reason he doesn't excel right then, you could always have him start 2024 spring training at the major league level, competing for a job in the bullpen then if the look doesn't work out in 2023. But either way, they are very high on Ryan Kerkering. He probably should be higher on the prospects list than he is, but pure relievers don't always get rated that well. But either way, they are very high on him. He's got a fastball and a slider. Fastball sits in the mid-90s, can touch 97. I'd love to see a little bit more command of it. And then the slider, plus slider, mid-80s, tons of spin to it. He has like a lot, he can do swing and miss. He can make you chase on it. He can land it for a strike. Fantastic with the slider. The fastball is more of the compliment, even though he throws the fastball more than 50% of the time. He needs to adjust that a little bit. Slider more than the fastball. Changeup, he has one. It's not great. It's like a, every now and then you could just flash it if you wanted to keep somebody from sitting on the fastball. But they might just have him scrap it completely. We'll see what happens. Fantastic week this week. If you're watching on YouTube, do us a favor. Like the video. Subscribe to the channel. It does help us out a ton. If you're on audio, consider leaving us a review. I don't actually have a ton of reviews out there from my time as the host, so I'd love to see some of those come out. I do appreciate it. We'll make a point on every mailbag to read all the 5-star reviews on the show. So, until next time, remember, it's always a great time to pay money.